Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello again, and welcome to another broadcast of The Zone. I am your host, Minister Tom Miracle. I want to thank you all for tuning in and joining in the broadcast. In this broadcast, we're going to talk about what is the next part of the Dream 2010, which is pray for Nineveh moment, a Nineveh move of God. The question you have to ask yourself is, after everything is set, or all these pieces of the puzzle coming together, like who were the creatures in the dream, who, what was the glass meeting about, as we talked about in the chair, what did the tornadoes mean? When you look at the Holy Spirit calling and saying, what if everything was took away and all you had left was what you had put inside you, or what you allowed the Holy Spirit put inside you? Of course, being saved, that's by the grace of God. But did you do enough praying? Did you do enough fasting? Did you, read the Word day in and day out? Every chance you had the opportunity to spend time with the Lord? And in the calling for warriors in the midst of the storm, and about the holy overflow, how much you put in and how much you get back out. And then we talked about Watchmen of the Night, and about the winepress of God and the Spirit of Pharaoh upon the earth, and what God's going to do to bring forth a great awakening, a great move of God, a great revival in these last days. And what we must do as Christians to be watchmen. Not only with our own salvation with fear and trembling, as the scriptures say, but to start interceding for our family, our friends, our loved ones, co-workers, who may not yet have no Jesus Christ saving Lord. So before we get into the heart of this message, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for another day that you've made, and we rejoice to be glad in it. Praise you that you are the rock, and you are the anchor in the midst of the storm. I pray, Lord God, that as this message goes forth, it will touch hearts and lives, and people's hearts will be changed, and they'll realize they need a Savior, and that Savior is you, Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, you just bless and minister. And bring us to a place that we're just have a deeper understanding of what you're trying to reveal to us in these last days. Bless the message, bless the word. Open ears and let people see the truth. Not the words of Miracle, but the word of God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Okay. So, we've just gone over most of the other pieces of the puzzle. So, what is this pray for Nineveh moment, a Nineveh move of God? And this, I believe, was around the beginning of January when the Lord gave me this message. It might have been the end of 2013 or January 2014. Not really sure. But once again, I had some time at my prayer and worship before the Lord. And this is what I felt in my heart, the Holy Spirit of God was saying. I've heard the cries of my people. I am a God of great grace and mercy and compassion. I'm not willing that any soul perish, but all come to repentance. I will let a miracle reap what it has sown. and put them in the winepress of God. So, once again, Holy Spirit is confirming the message before it's going to happen. Or it has already begun to happen now. And God's going to allow this winepress to take place. And people that don't know Him, that built their own empires, their own, not the foundation of Christ, they're all going to see it all crumble. Sooner or later, it's going to crumble. And like it says in Galatians chapter 6, in the New Testament, whatsoever you sow, you reap. You sow the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. You sow the Spirit, you sow the flesh, you reap life. You reap corruption. So, and scriptures also talk about it in the Old Testament. As a tree falls, so shall it lie. You dig a hole in it, you dig a hole, you're going to fall in it eventually. And even as I sent the prophet Jonah to announce the destruction of Nineveh, then the people of Nineveh set their heart on me and cried in sackcloth and ashes and fasted before me. I showed mercy and did not pass final judgment at that time on Nineveh. I will that my people will pray and cry out for a Nineveh moment, a Nineveh move of God, and that the Jonahs would stop running and repent and turn back to me and fulfill the calling I placed on their lives. As I showed mercy to Nineveh, so will I show mercy to America. Now I bring judgment but for the sins of America, but I will not bring America to its full end, not yet. Last part of the message says, I give this warning to America and all the nations of the land. The end is fast approaching and you are running out of time. I'm going to bring a full end of this age. Repent and turn to me and ask for forgiveness of your sins while there's still time. Wow, that's powerful. This part is really something in it, because God was talking about Nineveh, and he said, then the people of Nineveh set their heart on me in pride and sackcloth and ashes and fasted before me. I showed mercy and did not pass final judgment at that time on Nineveh. If you read the book of Jonah, you'll find out that Nineveh was a very wicked, 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 wicked city. They did things and their atrocities were just barbaric. If you read the history of Nineveh, it'll just freak you out and blow you away. To realize a people could be that cruel, could be a people who, when they killed someone, they not just killed them, they made that person suffer and they embarrassed them. I believe, according to history, if I'm right, I'm not sure, I remember what I've read, that they'd even leave them on poles and stuff like that. That one of the things that Nineveh was notorious for was, I can't exactly remember the word right now, but like spearing and then leaving them, speared. It was a very, very wicked, wicked, wicked country. Our city, I'm sorry. And God called Jonah and he said, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, ain't happening, I'm going the other way. And he said, I know if I go there and I give them a repentance message, that they're going to turn to you and instead of you doing what you said you're going to do, you're going to change of heart and you're going to not do it. And so Jonah, of course, ran. He went the other way. He went a different direction on a ship. And the Bible says that the storm came, winds and everything, and they couldn't control the boat. And he told the people on the boat who he was, and he said, look, this is all going to stop because I'm running away from God. If you throw me into the water, it's going to stop. And sure enough, it did. And Jonah, according to what Scripture says, was, 3 days in the belly of a whale. And he realized that, I just better surrender and give my all to what I'm called to do and will proclaim this message that God wants me to proclaim to Nineveh. So he did. And he let them know that God was going to bring judgment for their sins, for their wickedness, for everything that was, how do I say this, displeasing to the Lord. And when the people heard the message that Jonah was saying, everything stopped. They got in sackcloth and ashes. They humbled themselves, is what that really means. They brought themselves to a place of nothingness. They brought themselves to a place of total repentance. They brought themselves to a place where they realized, oh my gosh, this God, Jonah of the Israelites, the great I Am, is now pronouncing, I'm going to destroy the city for its wickedness and its sin and its abomination. And even the king got the news. So he, I believe, proclaimed the fast too. And he also was in sackcloth and ashes and fasting before the Lord. And God saw what was going on with the people in Nineveh. And God did not destroy it at that time. So we see here is a city, that's a Gentile city at the time in the Old Testament, a city that is living in total wickedness, total abomination unto the Lord. Total deep in sin. And God said, I'm gonna finish this city off. God saw the humbleness and saw them crying out and just pleading for mercy. And they broke down totally before the Lord. And God spared Nineveh. I truly believe that the message here about praying for Nineveh a moment, a Nineveh move of God, is exactly what it says it is. That God is not willing any should perish, but all come to repentance. But he is going to move in his time if we don't make the right choice. And there are people who have been praying now. There have been people who have been praying 100 years ago and hundreds of years ago. But the moment that we're in, that God would move mightily upon people. And show mercy when it looked like all hope was gone. So, the Holy Spirit is speaking and saying, you tell them, and you tell the body of Christ, my people, for those who are interceding for the lost, for those who are seeing, for those who are not without, who are not with Christ at this time, pray for an end of a moment, an end of a move of God. Pray that the message, the wine press, and everything that's going forth will bring people to a place of brokenness, will bring the people to a place of being incomplete, will bring the people to a realization they need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. The Savior is Yeshua HaMashiach, and in Spanish it's Jesus de Cristo, Jesus Christ, Jesus, Savior, Christ the Anointed One. We all need to be saved from the wrath to come. And the way to be saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary and other places as well. When it came to his beatings, when it came to his scourging, and when he got whipped, the blood poured out, and it poured out for you and me, and it poured out on the cross for all mankind. to give everybody opportunity to repent and turn from their wicked ways and from their sin. As Scripture says, then, my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'll heal their land. What does it mean to heal their land? I believe that's a spiritual implication, which means I'll heal their soul. I'll take it from a heart of stone and I'll make it a heart of flesh. So this Nineveh moment, this Nineveh move of God, God is saying for his people to cry out to him for mercy, even in the midst of judgment, to cry out for mercy. Even in the midst of the storm, to cry out for mercy. Even as in the midst of those who are in the wine press, to cry out for his mercy. So that he can reach those people, that he can touch those people with his mercy and grace. So that he can let them realize they need a Savior and bring holy conviction upon their life, so they turn to Christ and receive him as Savior and Lord. Surrender their life to him. And as we're seeing, as I shared before, all the things that's happening in America, not only in America, but all the other nations of the world, the immorality is running rampant. There's things that are going on that never went on 30 years ago. There's things in the church that are being accepted that never was accepted 30 years ago. Now, the marriage between a husband and wife is being attacked. And for the last 40 years, the slaughtering of innocent lives has been going on, unchecked, in a way to stop. And yet, God, who is rich in mercy, says, tell my people, pray for a Nineveh moment, a Nineveh move of God, and for the Jonah to return back to their first love, to do what they're called to do. To come out of their entanglements, to come out of their bondages, to come out of their rebellions. Surrender and do what I've called them to do and reach out with my word and my love to those who are lost and dying, to those who are in chains of darkness, to those who are that have no hope or that are in depression and feel like they need an answer. And those people who have been running from God, who have been called to give the answer, need now to turn and give the answer, which is the answer is Christ. Powerful, powerful. Knowing that God is saying we need to be praying for a Nineveh moment, a Nineveh move of God. And you know what's interesting? This part of this message here, where it says, And for that he wants his people to pray and cry out for a Nineveh moment, a Nineveh move of God. And that the Jonahs would stop running and repent, turn back to me and fulfill the calling I've placed on their lives. And as I showed mercy to Nineveh, so will I show mercy to America. And I will bring judgment but for the sins of America. In other words, America's going to reap what it has sown. Bring America to its full end, not yet. I think that's one of the most interesting statements given in this message by the Holy Spirit. I will not bring America to its full end, not yet. As in Nineveh, I think it was 100 years, if I remember right, because they did not listen to their forefathers or grandparents, ancestors, whatever you want to call it, and didn't remember when this special time came that they repented with sackcloth and ashes and were fasting, I think for 3 days at least, and seeking God's mercy. And that didn't get passed on. And because it didn't get passed on, another generation comes in to the forefront and they don't know or refuse to continue on, and they do what they were doing before the mercy of God was applied to Nineveh. And God said, these are my words, enough. And so according to history, and according to what the Bible says, Nineveh was no more. God brought judgment. He delayed judgment because he's long-suffering. He delayed judgment because he doesn't want any to perish. Even in the book of Jonah, in the last chapter, I believe it is, Jonah was mad because God didn't wipe out the people. Jonah wanted God to just finish him all off. Everything. Destroy the city. And God didn't do it. And I believe God's answer, if I remember right, I want to get this part right. So I'm going to share the scripture with you. It's very, very easy scripture. I mean, it's in Jonah. It's in the last chapter of the book of Jonah. And the Lord, and Jonah's talking to God. And he's letting him know, I'm very angry that you did not take them out. God's reply, I think, is one of the most interesting replies that he gives to his messenger. And it's very simple. And it's in the last part of the verse. He says in verse 11, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who don't know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? You know, he's saying to Jonah, there's 120,000 people that don't realize that they don't even know the right hand from the left. They don't have no common sense. They don't have no spiritual sense. They're just slaves to sin. They're just walking in darkness. They don't have a clue what's really going to happen, what's going on. And God is showing mercy. And see, that's the thing that I can understand very, very, very much, because before I come to Christ, I was in sin. I was in darkness. I didn't see truth in its form that I see now. And I didn't understand. I knew about God. I knew about the love of God, but I didn't really understand the deepness of that love. And when you're following sin or living in sin and rebelling against God, you're the servant of sin. So you don't see truth is distorted to you. Nothing, everything you look at, that's why the Bible says reprobate, because they don't want to retain God or knowledge, according to chapter 1 of Romans. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Reprobate means to believe a lie and be damned. In other words, you turn a lie and you think it's true. And I've seen it in so many people as they turn away from God and God draws them and then they run away and they don't realize, because of the rebelliousness, you know, that they're believing the lies of Satan, and they keep on following unrighteousness. And the truth they don't see, because God has not opened their eyes to see truth, because he knows they don't want to see it. And only when those who cry out to him and want repentance and want salvation, then the Holy Spirit, as he brings that conviction, that drawing to bring them to the place of repentance, blinds come off, the blinders come off the eyes, the scales come off the eyes, you want to put it that way. They are able to see truth. And they not only see it, they hear it. Because now they're seeing the light of truth. And where everything was now darkness, now they see light. And so now the decision is, do I hang on to the light and receive Christ as Savior and Lord, or do I turn away and run from the light and go back into darkness? How interesting. To me, is like I shared with you what God said. He said, should I not spare 120,000 souls who don't even know what they're doing? And the cattle, too. It's like God's saying, it's like, in my opinion, or my, the way I look at it in these words, God said, I don't want to take them out. I want to give them a chance. I want them to make him realize how merciful and loving that I am.
And I want
for them to follow me and not follow what they've been doing. So I'm going to show mercy because they fasted and they prayed and they sought me in sackcloth and ashes. They humbled themselves before me. How can I destroy people? How can I take out a city, I should say, when they're doing this? Because they don't have no shepherd. They don't have no one to lead them in the truth. They don't have no one to show them spiritual sense. And I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to delay judgment on Nineveh. And he did. And that's what God wants to do with America. Even though America has rebelled, even though America says, we want a king, you know, it's a president, you know, we want someone to give us all the benefits and all that. We don't want to serve God. We want to do it our way. We need someone who will give us that. Well, you know what? They got it for the last 8 years. And it's all it's done is put them more in bondage and slavery. Simple. I mean, you look at everything that's been given, and it's just another way to hold a person in check. But that's my opinion. I'm not saying that's the word of God. I'm saying that's my opinion. And you know what's interesting? When the people of Israel, a little bit out of Nineveh, but going back, when the people of Israel said, we want a king, we want to be like everybody else. And Samuel said, prophet, you're crazy. You don't know what you're asking for. God was furious and said, give him a king. And he gave him a king. And he said, okay, we're like everybody else, blah, blah, blah. Oh, let's rejoice, we got a king. And they didn't even realize that the king was going to make them be his servants. And they would answer to the king, and whatever the king said, that was going to be it in the story. And so now we see here the political, what word I want to use here, winds, you know, about change and about, you know, let's give this and that and this away and let's this happen and that happen and this happen. And, you know, we don't even have to answer for it. We're just going to do it. We're just going to make laws and no one even has to go according to what the Congress says or the Constitution says or what the laws of the land that the forefathers made sure that these things would take place. So this wouldn't happen. But guess what? America wanted to go their route, their way. And now we're paying for it. And like I said before, the window is closing. And truthfully, in my own opinion, once again, unless there's a mighty change in leadership, we're at a door. We're about, and if we get the wrong person, or the wrong leadership, I should say, I'll put it that way, to continue the pathway we're going now, we're going to go through a door and we're not going to come back out. So I believe that before this takes place, that God's people got to really start seeking and crying out and praying and call upon his holy name and just get a hold of the Lord for that Nineveh moment, that Nineveh move of God, and that the Jonas will do what they're supposed to do. And that's be a witness, an ambassador, representative of the kingdom of God, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ so people can receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And like I said, it says here God, in this message that I will not bring America to its full end. Not yet. There's apparently God is going to bring America to its full end. But he doesn't want to do it yet. He wants to see souls brought into the kingdom. He wants to see people cry out for mercy and repent and surrender their life to him and receive his Savior. He wants to do a great work in their lives. He wants to bring them to a place where he can bless them. And he wants to help them in their walk and let them represent the kingdom of God also so that others can be saved. But as we saw what happened I think it was 100 years. I'm not exactly, it's exactly 100 years, but I know it's close to that time frame. That group of people, 100 years after this great mercy and compassion and love of God that took place in Nineveh, and God brought judgment. And I believe that God is saying enough is enough. And when he decides, that's it, that's it. I mean, I don't care who's in leadership. I don't care who's saying what. It ain't going to matter what I even say, because it doesn't matter what I say anyhow. When God says that's it, that's it. It's amazing. People say, well, you know, that just shows you, people are talking about, well, that's the New Testament, and we're under grace and under love, you know, and God was this way and that way. I mean, you look at Jonah chapter 4, and God is saying, should I not pity Nineveh? That great city in which there are 120,000 souls. Even all that they did, barbaric, abomination, and everything else that was ungodly, God wanted to show mercy. But in order to show mercy, he had to see hearts and lives that wanted to change. Hearts and lives that were repenting from what they were doing. And then he humbled himself before God and in sackcloth and ashes, which is the lowest way to humble yourself when it's coming from the heart. When you say, God, I'm nothing without you. I can't make it. God, without you, I don't have a chance. And that's what the wine press is going to do. It's going to bring people to a place of incompleteness. It's going to bring them to everything's going to be shattered before them. And they're going to realize, you know what? In my own strength, I blew this thing. In my own strength, I failed. There's no happiness, there's no joy, nothing's working for me. I need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So, let's go to the last part. I think this is very interesting, too, what's being said. Area that God is saying is giving a warning. Your time is almost up. It's time to repent. I give the warning to America and all the nations of the land. Repent while there's still time. Turn to me while there's still time. I will bring a full end of this age, which means God said, I'm going to end this. Whether you like it or not. Whether you say I'm alive or not, whether you say I'm all powerful or not, it don't mean nothing. Because you're human. And you're only going to be here for even the longest, maybe 100, 120 years, if that. So you don't know, how do I put this to you? You can't tell God what to do. You can only say I don't believe in him, but that don't change who he is. You say, well, I don't think he's coming. That don't change what he says he's going to do. Nothing that I say, nothing that anybody else says is going to matter. When he says that's it, that's it. The plug is pulled. The door opens, whatever you want to call it. When he says done, it's done. Because he's sovereign, all-powerful, all-holy. And when he says, you know what? That's it. That's it. And he says, in this part of the message, you're running out of time. And see, that's what people think, that I got all the time in the world. You know, you don't. Nobody has all that time in the world. We're one breath, one heartbeat away. You can't guarantee. Nobody can guarantee me that good heartbeat, the next heartbeat. Nobody can guarantee me the next breath. They can't say, well, I'm living because I control my breath. You don't control your breath. Maybe you can hold your breath, but you don't control your breath. Every time you breathe in and you breathe out, you breathe God. When God breathed into Adam, he breathed in God. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, they that dwell therein. I'll say it a little slower. The Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness of complete everyone in it belongs to him. And whether you serve him or not, you belong to him. And the breath you breathe is his breath. The heartbeat that you have is his heartbeat. Giving you another heartbeat, another breath to repent. Giving you another opportunity to receive him as saving Lord. Ain't that amazing? If that ain't love, what is? But the ones who rebel against them, the ones who are out there in their man-made religions, even doing the atrocities that they're doing, every breath that is coming from him, because he doesn't want them to perish. Now, that's a mind-boggling statement in itself, but he wants all to come to repentance. Sure, you're going to have consequences to your actions by doing the things you're doing that are not right. You're going to have consequences. But the main thing is knowing whatever consequences you're going to have is knowing he's going to be there with you. If you repent and turn to him and surrender your life and receive Jesus Christ, stay with the Lord. So the message is given. This is what I truly believe God is saying to the church. We need to intercede and pray for a move of God, and for the Jonas, for ones who know the calling, quit running from your calling and do what God's called you to do, the Holy Spirit of God's called you to do. If you've heard this message and you realize, once again, you know what? Everything he's saying, it's really speaking to my spirit, my heart. I realize I feel the tug of the Holy Spirit. I feel that love of God. And every breath I breathe is from him, and I'm rebelling against him, and I need to stop. So, why don't you stop rebelling and running away from what he wants for you, wills for your life, and that's to be with him forever. Like I said, all you got to do is pray the prayer. It's a very simple prayer from your heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made salvation. So you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And you believe that through Jesus Christ's blood, you can be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed from all your sins. And your name can be in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you want that. You now have come to a place of brokenness and incompleteness, and you've tried everything, and it has not worked for you. Well, now it's trying, as the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Bible in the book of Isaiah says, come, you know, buy from me, and don't have to pay no price. Just give your life to me. And the only thing he asks of you is surrender your will to his. And your will, when you compare that for his grace and love and mercy that's coming toward you to bring you to that place of repentance, it really doesn't mean that much. I mean, to the point where why would I want to turn away from serving God and following his will, which is going to lead me into everlasting life, and instead of considering doing my will, it's only going to lead me to a dead end. So, if you're ready to pray that prayer and you want to receive Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord, I ask that you bow your head and bow your heart unto the Lord and humble yourself before God and say, Lord, I'm broken and I'm incomplete. And I've tried everything and it has not worked for me. Lord, I need you. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my will to you. I want you to be the Savior and Lord of my life. I ask you now to become my Savior and Lord, and I receive you, Jesus Christ. Thank you for taking all my sins and washing them away, and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and being reconciled to God, back into the family of God. Help me, teach me, let me learn from your word. Open my eyes, my spiritual eyes, that I can understand your word. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost, that I can have the comfort and the power of God upon my life. Help me, God, not to be ashamed, but to go forth boldly, proclaiming that I am now a child of God, and that by his love and mercy, I was on my way to a dead end, but he reached out and grabbed a hold of me and brought me unto himself. I thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing and all you've done. I thank you for your mercy and grace. I thank you now that old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And now I belong to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You prayed that prayer. God bless you. I just want to let you know that I want to be the first to say on the air, welcome into the family of God. If you've got a testimony, like to share your salvation with us, with me, here at the Zone, telling us a beautiful testimony, if you receive in Christ the Savior and Lord, then you can write me at P.O. Box 6261, Goodyear, Arizona 85338. Or you can catch up with me on Facebook. I'm Thomas Miracle on Facebook, and I have my picture is I stand with Israel, and I do. And of course, we have groups that you can join. There's a Storm Warning group named Americans for Christ and Continuing Prayer for Persecuted Church, American Nations, The Awakening. We'd love to have you join. And if you have any questions, you can get a hold of me. If you don't have that time and you just need to get a hold of someone for prayer, the ministry number is 313-610-8437. That's 313-610-8437. Well, I just want to say I thank you for this opportunity. It has enlightened my eyes. Every time I share the Storm Warning 2010 message and the parts of it, I get more and more out of it. And it just becomes such an urgency that we need to realize, time is short and time's running out. And we need to prepare and get ready for what is coming. And we need to be, Christians especially, to be able to help those who may be calm the storm and the wine press of God, and when they cry out, to be there for them and through the scriptures where it lets them know that God loves them and he just wants them to turn to him and receive a Savior and Lord also. Before I go off the air, I want to share a special prayer request I received yesterday. The news that one of the people we were praying for, her son, passed on from this life to the next. And as I shared before, this one was diagnosed with bone cancer all in his body. So it is sad that he's gone, but him knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is great reassurance, as the scripture says, to be absent in the body, to be present with the Lord, and to know that all that he's gone through and suffered, he'll suffer and never go through that again. He is now in the hands of a loving God, and he will be with him forever. And so that's the reassurance and the hope, knowing that he may not have got the healing that we were praying for, but I also was praying that if God wants to give him the ultimate healing, that he knows best. And based on everything that's happened, I would say with all my heart that God knew, and God was not going to let this young man suffer no more and not be in pain no more, and said, it's finished. Time to come home. No more pain, no more suffering. You're going to be with me forever. No more attacks of the enemy. No temptations, no trials, no nothing. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. So please remember that family in prayer, the Roberts family. Pray for the mother, the dad, siblings, family, loved ones. Pray that God helps them and strengthens them during these times as they walk through the shadow of death. And that healing will come at the appointed time, and that they'll be able to trust the Lord in his word and know that God is faithful, and that, as David said, I can't go back to the baby who's passed, but I can't bring him back, but I can go to him. So, amen, that's the blessed hope that we know that our loved ones who are gone, that one day we'll be reunited to them in the Lord. Well, I pray also for those who have needs and are hurting, those who have physical needs and need a touch from God. I pray right now that the healing, powerful word of God, the healing, anointing power of God will just flow in their hearts and lives, whether it be in hospitals, sick and shut in, whether just on their regular bed at home. I pray, Lord God, your healing power just manifest and touch their lives, heal them, and let them know that you are a God that heals, not just physical, but the brokenhearted. I break the chains of darkness and all attacks, enemy coming against all God's people, all those who are now coming to know Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. Bless your people, I pray. Minister and touch lives, heal, save, set free, and deliver in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, I just want to leave once again with this little statement that I believe the Holy Spirit gave me when I was broadcasting in Arkansas. And it's very simple. People build empires. But the Holy Spirit of God builds people, me and you. And he builds us by the word of God, and by prayer. And he makes us where we bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Until next time, this is Minister Tom Miracle in the Zone. Thank you very much. And remember, like I said before, people build empires. God builds people, you and me. God bless you all.